Looking at them, you can figure it out. So the Gemara says, Bar Kuziba. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Not normally lined up from where it gets before it gets wide. Bar Kuziba Melech Tartan Shnino Palgi was a king for 2.5 years. You want a Gemara? Okay, he's king for 2.5 years. Amalul Rabbanon, and he went over to Rabbanon. It's 9 lines or eight or nine lines up. So it's going on base. We're going to cover some ground today. And he came over to Rabbanon and he said, "I know Mashiach." He said, "I'm Mashiach." Again, do you have the Gemara over there? Do you have the place? Okay, fine. So Amalay, so they said, "Mashiach Kosov, the Gemara of Adoin." By Mashiach, it's written, and he's able to tell who's innocent, who's right, who's Zakai, and who's not. In other words, he's able to figure it out by looking at you, if you're the guilty one or the innocent one. If you're the one who's on the right side or the wrong side. So, Nezhanan, Imar Vadon. So he said, let's test you. Let's see, if you claim you're Mashiach, so you should be able to do this trick. They saw he wasn't able to do it. Katlu, they killed him. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So now we took care of Mashiach, we took care of David and Mashiach. Those are two of the descendants of Ruth that had these six blessings. Now we're going to take care of the other four in one group. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Diksibahu, Asher, Inbehem, Kol Mum, there are no blemish. The two of Imare, Umaskilim, Chol Chachma. They had an in-depth knowledge of wisdom and a good appearance, and they had a perception of learning. And they had the fortitude to stand in the presence of the king. These are the different qualities of Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah. Now the Gemara is going to try to understand what it means. What does it mean when it says Asha'in Bo Mum? They didn't have any blemish, any mum, or chama, afilo kripta de kusilta, loy havabu. It's even a puncture of a needle of some sort. They didn't, they were mamish, blimo, meaning that they were perfect, as close to perfect as can be, whatever that means. But this is in counting out the qualities to show that these four people, Daniel, Hanan, Yishev, Azariah, were blessed with the tremendous qualities, just like David and Mashiach. What does it mean that they have the koyach to stand in the Hechel HaMelech, in the presence of the king? They held themselves back from laughter, from talking, from sleeping, and they held themselves back from going to the bathroom even when they needed to go, and they emes malchus, because they were scared of the king.
What does that mean?
It means that they stood there at attention no matter how many hours it was and no matter what they had to do instead. They spoke when they were spoken to, and otherwise you just saw them. See, we don't have a dugma for this. We don't have, you should know, Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, was once asked why, when he davened Shemoneh Esrei, he didn't chuckle. It says called Smoise Tirmayinu Hashem Michamecha, that we use our chuckle, it creates more kavono. How many people do you know daven like a rod? They don't budge. Comes to bowing down like Moedim, but at other times, he bowed down and his face was even with his belt. Even in his late years, he was 90 years old, and he had to be helped up. But still, he stood like a soldier. Because he once said he was once called in front of a court in the time of the war. They accused him of something. And he realized that he was standing there at attention, and for a second, he's in front of him, "Well, must have a dumb. What can he do already? The worst he can do is kill you." And there he is, he's not budging. He realized that, you know, Allah is coming back because of Baruch Hu. He should be too scared to move. And when he's davening like this, he didn't move. Correct. Correct. And Lamaisa, they making it real, put it that way. And I don't want to get sidetracked, I want to go weiter, but the concept of Ema, making it real, something that's a very, it's in the abstract. But the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to use the Nisim that happen every day to get us to make it real. Get it to make it real. There's so many stories that happen on a daily basis, Ashkacha Pratis. So many stories that happen on a daily basis that show us the Yad Hashem B'Golom. And we just have to wake up and realize, you know, to take our blinders off. And say, you know something? An Imam in Bemuna Shalema. If you ever thought about it, there are a bunch of animamins. Some people say it every day, some don't say it every day. Animamin be'emunah shelema, we believe. Now, mamin and emunah is the same word. Animamin be'shelemus. Animamin be'emunah shelema, you're repeating yourself. Animamin, what does it mean? What are we believing? What does it mean? I mean, b'munah shalem. Someone showed me today for Shach, that he said over in the Aviezri, on the Rambam, that Pshat is that even by things that are not b'hasogah, that we can't understand, we believe b'munah shalem. Something that we can understand and we believe that Hashem is running the world, okay. But something that we can't comprehend, and that is also a chiyuv of animam munah shalem. In other words, real, to make it real. And that's what you see by regular king, and it doesn't exist nowadays. Somebody that there has to be such a pachad from, you know? It really doesn't exist. You see what's happening now with all the dictatorships around the world, that just get enough people gathering together, it's not long before this poor guy, whoever he is history. It's happening all over the place. It's a tremendous message. How many people, for so many years, walk around think that they're not touchable, and suddenly they become very vulnerable. You know, overnight, it seems. Really, it's over a few months, but in the scheme of the history, a few months is like overnight. And to see how many things could happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, that Reuven doesn't learn from Shimon. Shimon, I mean, all you have to do is open your eyes. Take a look what happened to your next door neighbor and say, you know something, look, I'll figure out a way to compromise, but I don't want that happening to me. No, the arrogance and is so strong that it blinds them to a point where they go to the same fate as the guy right next door to them, because, nah, it wouldn't happen to me. And that's what they keep saying. You would think at some point they should figure it out. No, they bring it on themselves. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing. And the funny thing is, we do this all the time. I'm getting sidetracked. Someone just called me up today, just flew into Eretz Yisrael about something. He came to check something out. It's like we are our own worst enemy so many times. It's amazing. It's really amazing that we have so many. If we only stop to think, but we don't. If we would just recalibrate, we would save ourselves so much agnes nefesh. So much of it is self-induced. We set ourselves up to expect this and this. So then when we don't get it, we're angry and in a bad mood for a whole day. I get real. Maybe your expectations weren't, you know, in reality. Maybe you didn't take everything into account, and maybe if you would have been a little bit more reasonable, you wouldn't have had this setback and you wouldn't be in a miserable mood for the next 2 days. It happens all the time. And this is something to keep in mind. But anyways, what they did was, the fear of the king was so great that nothing happened. They didn't do anything. Now the Gemara doesn't even discuss where they came from. The Gemara says, they were from the sons of Yehuda, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah. They all came from Shevi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel bar Achmeni, Daniel from the Yehuda. Chananya Mishal Adayu Mishal Shvatim. Chananya Mishal Adayu came from other Shvatim. Omi Vanecha, Asher Yotzu, Mimcha, Asher Toilid Yichu, they said from the children that will come from them, Asher Toilid Yichu, Oyu Svisim Hechel Melech Bavel, there will be Svisim in the Melech, in the Hechel of Melech Bavel, the, quote, descendants of these, Daniel of Chananya Mishal Adayu. So Gemara wants to know, Masurisim. What are Surisim? So, Rava Masurisim Mamish, that the Mamish were, they weren't able to have children. And it's brought down that people that were working by the king would have them made into a situation, castrate them, since they couldn't have children, as a way of, that their dedication would be total to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was one of the things that a king did sometimes, and according to the sheet of Rav, the pasuk is before him.
The king would do this so that they would be serving Hashem?
No, so that they serve them. That they wouldn't be busy with other things, they would be totally dedicated to serving the king.
Okay.
They wouldn't have a family, they would have no other involvement. Okay, now, that's Rav. Rav Chanina, Shinisarista, Avodah Zarah, B'yameh, that Avodah Zarah was cut away in their days. Now what happened? Because they were threatened, if they don't bow down, they're going to get thrown into fire. They got thrown into the fire, they came out, no problem. So everybody realized, you know something, Avodah Zarah ain't that important. So Avodah Zarah started becoming less chomer and people stopped bowing down. So the concept of Avodah Zarah got cut off in their days. They were the catalyst to the Avodah Zarah becoming extinct. And that's why it uses the Lashon Sris. So Bishlam Lamando. Well, that was on a different point in the history. But at this point, I think it was later on. At this point, what happened over here was from the fact that they overcame this challenge and they weren't affected by it, it lessened the quote authority of it, and made the people stop doing it. So Bishlam Lamanda Mishin Sarah Zabiyam. Very good, according to the Mandam who holds that people stopped doing Avodah Zarah. Hainu Tziva Chaval Aisi Bahoin. It says that there was no mum on them. Remember, we were saying that Daniel Chanan Yeshua Zariah had no damages to them. And if they would have been Srisim, meaning that they couldn't have children, then there would have been some damage. So it makes sense. What does it mean that they didn't get damaged? The Srisim, the king made them in Srisim. Of course they're damaged. So my answer is Chavala Denura. Ouch. Chavala Denura. They didn't get damaged from the fire. And when it said, Vein Chavala Mahoin, it meant that the fire did not damage them. But about that they were mum because the king had already made them into the service. And therefore they taka had a mum, but lamaisa it didn't come from the fire. Tried to hear more about Ksiva Reach Gur Loy Adas Bohin. Loy Chabal of Loy Rech. So it meant that they didn't get damaged from the fire and they didn't even get from smoke, didn't even seep in and affect them. So they had no bad, no adverse effect from the fire at all. So Bishlam Lamandam says Arisav Avodah Zarah B'yameh, very good, according to the Mandam of the whole, that there was no more Avodah Zarah. That's what the Pasuk was referring to. Hainu Dixiv Koya Amar Hashem LaSarisim Asher Yishmo Hashem Shaisim. So said Hashem to the Sarisim that they watch my Shabbos, and the Pasuk continues. When the Torah wants to refer to them, when the Torah refers to them as the Svisim, it's humiliating. It's not a nice way to refer to Tzadikim, to call them the Svisim. It's not possible that that's what the Pasuk would do. So Gemara says, you're right, the Nibble is really both. It was both. And when it says Sarisim, it referred to both, that they were Sarisim Mamish, and that Avodah Zarah was cut away in their lifetime. Now, the Gemara is now going to go for another few lines to explain the rest of this pasuk in Yeshayahu. Let me just read to you the pasuk. This is what we're going to try to discuss tonight a little bit. The pasuk says like this. Let me read to you a pasuk just before we go back to the Gemara. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Al yoyma ben anecher hanilva Hashem leimam." Person is ben anecher should not say, son of a stranger should not say, "Havdil yavdileni Hashem elama." Hashem separated himself from me. Hashem's not with me. That's where things aren't going exactly the way he plans. "Val yoyimah hasaris hein ani yechavish." And hasaris, someone who can't have any children, shouldn't say, "I'm a dry piece of wood." This is what Hashem said to these people that can't have children. "Asher yishmu Hashem soisai." If they will watch my Shabbos, "v'bachavu b'asher chafotzi." And they'll choose with what I want them to choose. "Umachzik im bebrisi." And they'll be machzik my bris. Now, "bachavu b'asher chafotzi" is talking about chesed. And "machzik bebrisi" is talking about chazokas ha-Torah. As the Chofetz Chaim explains, it says at the end of that pasuk, "machzik bebrisi." So what's going to happen is, "nasati yod v'shem." I'll give them eternal asher lo yikaret. It means that they will have a legacy that will live on eternally, that can't be chopped away. And the Chofetz Chaim explains in the beginning of his Shem Olam that people want to create legacies for themselves. A lot of times, if they can't have children, so they'll write a Sefer Torah, they'll donate money, they'll do different things. And this pasuk is saying different things that a person could do that will create a legacy even without children. It's toiv mi bonu mi, but it's even better than children.
Why?
Because a person could have a child loyally and it doesn't follow in his path. It goes away from Hashem, it goes away from Torah. Such a child is not going to create a legacy for him that he's proud of. Whereas if a person goes and he's shomer Shabbos, meaning that he's usher in chesed, or machzik in bebrisi, so then that person is creating his own legacy for himself. We discussed this at an early yeshiva one time. But the maisa, it's important to keep in mind that a person has to, you're not always guaranteed exactly what you think or want your child to do, he's going to do, or she's going to do. It doesn't always work. It's not like you make a copy on a copy machine. Every copy comes out exactly the same. It doesn't work like that. It might be the same ingredients in the child, but the same shape, parts film in each other, the same in each other, they don't look the same, the personalities are different. I mean, we see it in this expression. Esav and Yaakov. I mean, and what did Rivka say? What do I need it for? I mean, she would have rather not have any children if they're gonna run into the Beis Medrash. So she found out, no, there's gonna be one that's going after the Beis Medrash, so it was Kedar. But you see very clearly from Rivka that if they're not doing what you want them to be doing, she'd rather not have them. So you keep Shabbos, you just created a legacy for yourself. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on to explain it. Maybe one day we'll learn Shema Olam together. We had another shir, a different night of the week in Shema Olam. But Maisa, it's a guaranteed in the bank, the Chofetz Chaim says. Everything else takes tremendous investments, and you're not even sure if at the end of the day it's gonna give any dividend. You don't know what's going to really be. You dive in, you try, you put all your effort in, but you're not guaranteed that it's going to come out the way you want it to come out. There's no way to know.
So that's just meant by a legacy, a point on the scoreboard afterwards?
Well, basically, it's...
What's a legacy? What's meant by legacy?
What's meant by legacy is, when it says in the pasuk, that acknowledgement, so to speak. Okay, there's an acknowledgement of the good that you caused. Basically, that what's the right word that I'm looking for? Right, when you create the lashon of Chavetz Chaim is shall yedei in zeichel l'shem olam, or an eternal name, so to speak, ashelo yikares. Nowhere we have it in the Gilead, where it says at the end of Mordechai, it ends. I tried to remember by heart the pasuk. Yeah, you have a chumash. I look at it. That his name carried on.
I think that could be only an amplifier. I don't think if you miss somebody, if I put it on a level that they can't have kids, they say, listen, don't worry, you have a choice, you're going to be left to know it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, but the problem is, I'll read it a lashon. Chavetz Chaim is very, very careful over here when he writes it. He writes, the lashon is like this. Vehine, ready? Vehine, the lashon is Reisi b'meichel kama pam. I've seen in my life kama anoshim shleizochu lebonim. People were not zeicher to children. They walk around all downtrodden, saving kol yimei, depressed, bitter, grumpy. But Amram, because they say mali mechayev, what do I have in my life? Halo yanuchi ke'ed yavesh. I'm like a dry piece of wood. Umaher egva ve'koris min haaretz, and they don't last long. Bitter and down people can only last a certain amount of time before they implode. It doesn't work. And then the name is erased forever from the eternal life. And there's no remembrance of me in this world. That means there's no legacy. I'm leaving nothing behind. But Yesh Anoshim, says the Chavetz Chaim, there's some people, they're smart enough to realize, let's make the best of it. They donate something to a shul. They write on the name, Nishmas or Schus, or whatever it is, that it was donated by such and such. They do different things. You know, you think nowadays is the only time when they did like these fundraising techniques? Back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, they also, shuls needed a fundraiser and people bought different rights and they put plaques up on the wall. And that created something for them. Omnam loy eitzis ke'elu yitnu lo la'nefesh shem u'she'eris baretz shelo yimachishmam. Those eitzis are not eitzes alone that will create that his name won't be erased. Kamavachin Varam the Kalamaid. I feel the Ashain Kayam, even though it's something that's really superficial, having a name on a plaque. But it's totally Binyani Gashmi. Kashikone Vyvat. Or he's Batala Keshim, he's a Sibam. I mean, someone could break in and steal it for the copper. Then it's gone. 50 years later, it was bothering me in Brooklyn a couple of years ago. In New Yeshiva, we did the Beis Medrash, and there were millions of plaques. Come back at the new Beis Medrash after 1 month, poof, nothing there. And they put it all on the wall in one big batch. They put everybody's name there, and they broke it down into months. Then there was someone. It had a plaque on a swarm trunk. So in the swarm case, the bookshelf, there was someone's name who donated it 25 years ago. And now they redid the bookcases, and there was a new name. A new guy donated the new one. The old one is gone. It went with the construction. Where's the zecher? Where's the memory? Not only that, that particular bookcase was donated by the people in the yeshiva at the time, because I remember I was a kid then in the yeshiva, and it was an older boy who went white water rafting in the Delaware. I don't know if you know about this stuff, but the mice is he lo yaleinu got dragged away in a current, fell over the boat, banged his head on a rock, and was during a trip. I don't know if you know what white water rafting is, you probably never know. So it's fast rushing water, and you have to go in your canoe, kayak, in and out, and there's a technique how to do it. And if you're not quick enough, or put water a little faster than you, on the way going downstream, the boat capsizes, you go flying. And if you're too close to the end and you're not centered in between the rocks and you hit the rock the wrong way, it's a one-way trip. And the Leviathan was in the Beis Medrash, and they afterwards hung up a plaque on the swarm shelf, the bookshelf. Back in the day, it was the nicest one that they had there. You know, of course, 25 years later, it was like a joke compared to like the new things they made. And the Misa, what are you left with? Not left with anything. Mars nothing. So then he says, Yesha Noshim, but some people want to outsmart this. What do? They go, Sha'isin Eitz Acheret, Sha'kishin Sefer Torah. They go and they write a Sefer Torah. Umenadvin al basic Knesset, and they give it the basic Knesset. And if you know, Gamshi Toiv Arbi Yisrael, it's better than the first idea, right? Because he had a lady from the Sefer Torah every single week. Shemar b'kedushas Hashem al yidei ma'isav. It's a gevaldik way to create a legacy for yourself. Every time they take out the Sefer Torah, it's mamish sending peklach to you in Shemayim. And there's a ribui kvoy Shemayim, and through that, there's a ribui kedusha to you and Hashem as well. It's not shot that on every third or fourth row in the Torah, it's written over the end of the stamp from Uncle Beryl. No, at most, maybe you have it on the mantle, or maybe even on the Eitz Chaim. Both of those things don't last forever. Even if you want to say the Torah will last. But in 100 or 200 years, who knows what happened? Another 50 new Sefer Torah. You open up that crazy, some of these big shuls. And there's so many Sefer Torah, more Sefer Torah than there are members. What happened? Right? The guy who donated that Sefer Torah 35 years ago, he wanted his Sefer Torah. Now you can't even see it without a microscope. You need a binoculars to see it. It's a joke. But it's better than the first age. But it's still... It doesn't do the job. It doesn't do the job. So Mela, he says, if you want to know an Eitz HaTaiva, says the Chavetz Chaim, what time is it? He says, if you want to know an Eitz HaTaiva, if you need Kashay Nechapis Material, Sein Akdesha, so now, what does the Torah tell us to do? This is something, it feels good to donate a Torah. It feels good to donate a bookshelf and put a plaque on. But what does the Torah tell a childless couple to do? Torah is, everything is in the Torah. So you look through the Torah, Google it, and it comes out to a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Val yoyim ha'saris, hein ani yeitz yovesh, v'ay t'choy amar Hashem ha'sarisim, asher yishmu Hashem soisai, u'bachim u'asher chavatzi, u'machzikim b'brisi, if you do these three things, Nasati Lohem, I'll give them. Bebesi, in my house. Over Chaymoise, in my walls. Yad Vashem. Where do you think Yad Vashem came from? Toiv Mibonim Mibonim, he's better than children. Shem Oilam Eten Lo, your name forever I'll give them. Asher Lo Yikares. It will never be cut off. You got a guarantee from the Novi Yeshaya. Speaking, the Rabbanim Shalom speaking, Mitech Groinoi. The Nabi said over word for word of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So you want to know what Hashem wants? He's given you an Eitz HaTaiva that you should have a name that Hashem lo yikares forever and ever and ever. What Watch my Shabbos. Baruch Hu Bashecha Fasi, which is Chesed. Machzik in Bibrisi, which is support Torah. So what do we see?
Why is he saying that? Why is the Navi coming out with ways that you can change the din that was given? And this is an after effect.
Because you're assuming, like me and all of us, that this is a bad din. It's just we perceive it as bad. We don't know the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I just showed. He's not here. What's his name? The other man that was here the other day. He's here. Whatever. That Valyeh Lepele Be'ini Adam, later on in the Shem Olam, he said there shouldn't be a wonder. Sheyesh Hashkacha Ba'olam. Lama Ze Oni Ve'ze Oshi. Why is this one rich and poor? Why does this one have something that doesn't have something? You know, we always wonder, like you're saying, why couldn't they switch it in? Why should it be like this, that this guy should have to suffer and have kids and this, and that one should be sick, that one should be poor?
But it's not giving it, the Navi is not saying an Eitzav or something else.
He's telling us,
you're going to get this and...
Yeah, but he explains. And he says a mashal. I'll tell you what he says to answer your question. But he says like this. He says that you get a guy who walks in to shul as a guest. So he comes, he sits in the back, there's 200 people davening in the shul. Says the Chafetz Chaim. He's waiting, he comes to the laning. So the rabbi calls up this guy for Kohen, that guy for Levi. You know the story. And after he finishes, the guy goes over to him. Why did that guy get? Why didn't he give that guy? Oh, but you don't know, he got last week. Oh, I hear. And that guy? Oh, he got 2 weeks ago, and he's going to get next week. He has a yahrzeit. That means a guy showing up in town for 1 weekend doesn't have a clue what he's looking at. So he's going to have a million questions and no answers. But in reality, he doesn't have any questions. Because all he had to do was stick around a little while, and they would be answered by themselves. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we have questions with no answers. Why this one doesn't have any children? Because his great-great-grandfather did this and this and this, and this is the punishment for it. But he wasn't around 150 years ago to see it. And now, because he's suffering like this, Mela, he'll be able to go straight to Gan Eden after he does. Because he got his cleansing. And why did this guy get this? And why did that guy get this? Because 100 years ago this happened. And 50 years ago that happened. That's what he says. The guy doesn't know anything. He only sees a small amount of the world. And he says, and his lashon is, Keinu mamish adav azeh, ha'adam bo l'poy al rikom ha'chodim. We're in this world. How much? Ki kami yimeshin they say him. How many years did the guy live? 120? He knows what happened 20 years ago. No. He doesn't even know what happened 120 years ago if he lived still 120.
But you don't get punished for the various...
You're not getting punished, but you could be a Gilgul, there could be so many things, says the Chafetz Chaim. He says, maybe you came back as a Gilgul because 200 years ago you were approached by someone for tzedakah, and you had money, and you didn't give right, you didn't give enough. And then, after 120 years, this person dies, it comes in front of the dinim Shamayla, Ben Shamayla, and says, I gave you the money, and you decided you'd rather keep it in the bank than give it to this downtrodden fellow, and this yeshiva, and that younger man, this guy can't support his kids, and you're keeping it in your bank? Okay, you'll come back again for a gilgul. And you'll be the only now. And see how it feels. It's the same person. Bill Gilgul, says the Chafetz Chaim. We don't know. We have no clue. So mainly our questions are only questions because we don't know. But in reality, they're not really questions. So therefore the Chafetz Chaim says, make sure that every time something comes our way, get rid of it. Do it right. Do the mitzvah right. Do extra. You can ensure yourself that you won't have this problem. I just want to finish up to the end part of the Gemara. It's already getting late. So we can start on Wednesday with a new shtickle. The Gemara says, So Bishlam Amala Masuisa Mamish Hanu Lixiv Bezu Chemoisa Yod Vashem Toy Mi Bonami Mubonos. Because he's not going to have any children. According to my mom, holds that Avodah Zarah was prevented. But really, they were able to have children. So why even have to say, maybe they did have children. No. They might have had children, but they died. So therefore, right now they have nothing going further. So therefore, do these three things. Watch my Shabbos. Bachu b'asher chavatz. Machzikim b'grisi. V'nasatim v'esiu v'choy moysa yod v'shem. My shem oylem etin la'ashelo yikaris. What does it mean? I'm going to give you an eternal name that won't get cut off. Amar v'tachem darish v'akabar v'tzipari. It's a sefer Daniel. Shenikra al-shemoy. Sefer Daniel, which is called by his name. Sefer Daniel is called by his name. So we see from here an interesting thing. The fact that it's called by his name. Meaning, every time we want to say, okay, let's look up a pasuk in Daniel, we're now talking about Daniel again. So was Daniel in the category of Asher lo yikaris? Absolutely was. Look what he got for himself. The Gemara is going to now go on, Michti, that we'll do that Gemara on Wednesday. But Lemaisa, you see right away, he got something that's called after him. What did he do? He created, there was created a matzav now where thousands of years later, we're still talking about the Neil. So, Lemaisa, this is in a nutshell, this concept of let's be selfish in our Avodas Hashem. I said this a few months ago. Now the Gemara is talking about it. The only one that we can count on is ourselves. We love ourselves more than everybody else. That's what the Pasuk says, after Yachal Kamoicha. Because that's the epitome. Therefore, we have to start. If we're able to give more tzedakah, if we're able to support someone who's in learning, if we're able to give more to yeshivas, if we're able to learn more ourselves, when we keep Shabbos. Shemir Shabbos doesn't mean just the way we do Shemir Shabbos. Shemir Shabbos is a very complicated topic. Tremendous opportunities. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a time when we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a level that you can't connect all week. Shabbos is an amazing opportunity to connect with your children, to connect with your family. Believe it or not, to connect with your spouse. It's Shabbos has a certain aura of Beiniu, Bein B'nei Yisrael, Ois Hi Le'olam. It's a sign in Ois forever. It's such an opportunity, and yet, by us, Shabbos is routine. And I really wanted to speak about it. It's too late. Maybe Wednesday. We'll talk about it for one night. Let's take one night, before we go by, talk about Shabbos. Shabbos is, according to Avigdor Miller, the Gemara says that I gave a matana, special matana, I have a special precious thing, Hashem says, in my treasure chest, and I'm giving to you a matana and Shabbos Shmoy. And the reward, the Gemara even says what the reward is. It's a tremendous thing, what Shabbos can do. Sit around the Shabbos table. Think about it for a second. We're sitting there with our family. We have so many opportunities to connect with them, and yet, if you really think about it, sometimes, maybe even more often than we want to admit, there could be a little issue at the table. Two kids could end up fighting about something, and suddenly you could be in a bad mood. Sometimes even a husband with a wife, or a wife with a husband, could get a little bit edgy because they're tired, because they didn't sleep enough, where they're falling asleep and the kid wants to do the work and the wife says, "You Shloimeh, come on, pay attention. He's trying to do his chumashit." And you get annoyed because you're tired, you just want to go to sleep and finish. You want to be left alone and wifey doesn't understand. And it happens all the time. It's such a waste. The HR is powerful. He knows exactly how to ruin the best opportunities that we got. Shabbos is such a beautiful, beautiful gift. A beautiful gift. For us to calm down, but yet we'll spend Shabbos talking about what happened during the week. We'll spend Shabbos talking about our businesses. Well, I have to fly. I'm flying to the States on Matzah Shabbos. So half of Shabbos is talking about my flight to the States on Shabbos and the things I got to do in the States because I have a trip back on Wednesday. Talk about that on Matzah Shabbos. No, I got to prepare. You can't prepare for half of Shabbos on Shabbos. So many halachas in Shabbos that we don't know. We don't know. In Hilchas Shabbos, in the kitchen, in Hilchas Shabbos, in Muksa. Hilchas Shabbos, true, we don't have a tzah, because unfortunately, we have an Erev, fortunately. So, therefore, because we're able to carry, we never learned the halacha of the tzah. But there are. If you want to take a walk over the mountain is not covered by the Edith Erev, only by the other Erev. What's the difference? Why not? How? When? Forget the politics. I'm talking about halacha. I'm talking about serving Hashem. Bishul. You know, people are even Bishul. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's so much in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Neshama Yisera is amazing. You learn at Shabbos, you get extra mitzvahs. You eat on Shabbos and you say L'Shem Kavod Shabbos, you get a mitzvah. You go shopping Thursday night and you say I'm doing the mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos, you get a mitzvah. You just don't do it, you don't get that mitzvah. There's so much and so, but this creates a yad, the basi of chaymoisai, yod v'shem, toy mi bonam v'bonais. You're padding your bank account in the next world. And you're going to have Shabbos anyways. You might as well just take advantage of it. Is it right? Oh, that's a good question. I thought about it this morning. There are reasons. I'll do research on it.
What is the shame of them?
What?